I think you guys deserve more credit than we do because, like, I mean, we have great conditions and it's beautiful, but like going out on a flat water area and like pushing the sport is a whole different level of dedication. So it's incredible.
That's true.
You know, I would be scared to go out in the conditions you were in, but we're going to talk about it. Let's just get into it. Let's start with episode number 35 of our podcast, Up on Foil, where we talk all about foiling. And a couple of episodes ago, we had Anna Ambrosiak on, and she said, yeah, it's hard to get women into foiling. And then I looked, and it's like, we just have three women on our show. It's episode 35, and it's just three women. That's terrible. So I went online and looked for some women, and there's so many. There's an article in the Foiling magazine about women on foil. I was like, all right, we need to get women. And I started looking, and then I found you online, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. What a woman from Maui, surf foiling, surfing, winging, and surfing crazy dangerous waves, and then designing these beautiful boards. So thank you very much, Annie, for coming on the show. And is there anything you just want to start out with telling the audience that I forgot to mention?
I mean, you covered it. I was born and raised here on Maui, and so it's a beautiful place to grow up. I think I'm definitely a product of my home. Like, I grew up in and around the ocean, so it's an easy place to kind of be introduced to the water. But yeah, I'm glad that I'm on the podcast. I'm so excited to see you guys getting more females to talk to. I think, like, there's definitely a lot more girls in foiling. Like, each day, I feel like it's hard to see them in person, but like, sometimes I'll see them in the water. Sometimes I'll just see them scrolling Instagram. But the number of women that are getting into it, it's growing pretty incredibly. And so I'm excited to, talk about that more.
That is super cool. We're
Sweet.
going to get into that. Are you just a question? You said you've been born and raised on Maui. Did you start surfing when you were little, like the videos we see often?
Yeah, I think I was 2 when I first started surfing on the
Oh.
front of my parents' board. I wore like water wings and like a mask and a snorkel because I like didn't like the water in my eyes. But they would like hold me up on the front of the board. And then I think I was probably like 3 or 4 maybe when I got like pushed in my first wave alone and like stood up and rode it.
How did that evolve?
So I grew up surfing. Like, it's kind of like, you grow up playing soccer or football or like something like that here, I guess. And so I grew up just like competing in surf contests for fun. Never like thinking it was going to be a profession for me, but just something I loved because I was drawn to the water from when I was little. And then from there, like the first time I ever kind of got into the professional sports world was through stand-up paddling. I had Dave Colomba and Robbie Nash and Kyle Lenny and Andrea Moeller and all these incredible stand-up paddle athletes to look up to when I was younger, and I watched them do it at my home breaks. And so I saw that, I was like, wow, that's something that's really cool and different. And then I tried it, and from there I started competing on one of the stand-up world tours we had, and then kind of evolved. Like, as I was getting into that and traveling for surf foil or for sup surfing and then sup racing more, foiling kind of came onto the scene. And I tried that because a lot of the people, like, Maui's a water sport, wind sport place. Like, people are open to trying new cool things here. It's not like just a surf community. And so from there, I started competing in foiling and like kind of got to watch the sport grow, like right out in front of where I normally like am in the water every day. And then right around that same time, I was getting into big wave surfing and kind of just like any water sport I could get my hands on, I wanted to learn. And so that's kind of where I am today, like still learning and evolving and so far to go, but I'm loving the journey and everything I've kind of gotten to experience along the way.
So interesting. So when you start surfing as a little girl, then probably the waves are small, and then they get bigger as you get bigger. So it's not like me, for example, if I go on vacation, I see waves like, wow, that's way too big, but you grow with them. That's probably a different approach.
Yeah, for sure. It was really interesting, actually. When I was little, I was like terrified of big waves. Like, I wanted nothing to do with them. And that's part of the reason that stand-up paddling appealed to me so much is because I got to like stand on a board and I was able to see when the sets were coming. So like, I wasn't just like in the water. I could kind of like see what was coming and what was going on. And then I don't really know what happened, but at some point, somewhere in my mind, I was like, yeah, let's go surf some of the biggest waves in the world. And I kind of got over that fear. But yeah, it's I mean, Jaws is in my backyard, so it's like I grew up watching it, and I never really thought like I wanted to surf it, but I didn't know if I'd ever be ready. Like, I didn't want to go out there before I had like the skill set to. And so working up to that point was like a huge milestone for me.
But you must have some stories where it was close or dangerous. Can you maybe share some?
Absolutely. I think, I mean, if you put yourself in those environments, like, it's only a matter of time before something goes wrong or something gets really, really close to going really, really wrong. And I think that's why we train so much, just so if those situations do occur, like, you're as prepared as you are and you won't panic and you can handle them with as much kind of ease as possible. I mean, I've had, like, I've gone on the rocks with jet skis at Jaws with Kai Lenny. Like, I've had lots of moments. I've, like, had a lot of shark encounters. Like, there's lots of things that have just happened. And I think, like, I look back at them now and I'm like, wow, like, that was so crazy and wild. But in the moment, you kind of just are, like, working through. It's like, okay, this is happening. This is what we're going to do. Like, it's not like you kind of train your mind to handle it. Like, it's just, like, another everyday thing. And then once it kind of passes, you're like, wow, okay, that was really serious. Like, I'm glad I was able to keep my cool.
How does that training look? You said you trained a lot for that.
Yeah, I think being able to do all these sports here, they all really help each other. Like, I'm just being in great physical fitness. Like, every time I'm in the water, I think I learn something new. Just so that really helps me. But also, like, doing a lot of breath work, I think, and then, like, a lot of strength training and cardio work, just kind of to get physical fitness. And then when you are under the water, not panicking and knowing, like, okay, I've put my time in, like, I am comfortable holding my breath for up to 4 minutes, potentially, like, on a static breath hold. So when you're under the water and, like, doing 70 cartwheels, you kind of, like, gain more comfort and, like, okay, if I can do that for 4 minutes in a pool, like, I got this. I know I have the ability. Yeah. So it's just working towards, like, training your mind to trust what your body can do.
How much you train since you're in the water pretty much, I guess, every day, plus strength training? So how much you train?
I always get yelled at from my, like, trainer at the gym that I don't take enough rest days. But I argue that I'm like, we live in such an amazing, beautiful place. It's hard to, like, justify taking a day off and not doing something active. But I probably do, like, 2 sports a day most days, given the conditions. Like, in the summer, it's a little different because it's flat here. And so it's a lot more, like, winging and downwind foiling and, like, a lot of land training versus in the winter, like, you can do almost every water sport in one day, given the right conditions. So it just kind of depends on the day.
Yeah. What kind of land training do you do specifically for board sports?
Yeah, I kind of like to do a little bit of everything. I love running. Like, that's something I've been getting into recently a lot more, like, doing long distance runs. I also love mountain biking. There's a lot of road biking here, but I prefer kind of being in nature. I love mountain biking. I think that's, like, a great way to, like, get your legs really strong. And then swimming sometimes, it's an in the ocean thing, but I've always, like, I grew up hating swimming. I was like, why would I swim? I can just put a board under me and swim like that. So I've kind of been on, like, a mission to enjoy that more. Like, I spend a lot of time in the gym too, doing, like, some strength training, but more just kind of, like, activation and trying to, like, strengthen those small muscles that are tend to being injury prone. Like, I work with a great trainer here that a lot of water sports people work with. It's kind of, like, really target, like, those weak points that what we might miss normally, we can kind of, like, really try and get dialed in.
Cool. Did you have brothers or sisters that pushed you as well when you?
I have a little brother, Miles. He is 2 years younger than me. We both, like, grew up surfing, but he's a professional, like, videographer. So he's kind of on the other side. So we still, like, will work together in some capacity. Like, sometimes he'll film me and we'll kind of, like, I think we push each other sometimes in that way. Like, he's behind the lens and I'm doing my sport and I want to, like, you know, I want to do well and impress him in some way. But we never really, like, yeah, did that type of stuff together. He was always more of, like, a mountain bike / land kit. And I was the one who was really drawn to the ocean.
So interesting. Just a little heads up. I'm wobbling back and forth.
Because he's drunk.
Yeah. That's just, no, I'm not. That's just what I do sometimes. But so your brother, is he the videographer that works with you, or does he just come to you sometimes and films you, or is that, like, a partnership?
It's more right now, like, just sometimes. I think he's kind of trying to find, like, his niche and what exactly he wants to do in the film industry specifically. Like, he's worked a lot with, like, the really, like, big time athletes here on Maui. Like, he works a lot with, like, Al Belair and Kai Lenny and all those guys. And so when he does have time when he's home, I love to film with him and shoot with him. But he spends a lot of time off island shooting for different, like, TV shows and movies and stuff like that. So I'm selfishly hoping that one day I can, like, convince him to shoot something, like, bigger with me and we can work on an actual project. But that is still in the works.
Are you planning to do, like, a documentary?
I mean, I think it'd be kind of cool. I feel like it'd be a fun perspective to share, like, from a sibling kind of, because they've, like, we've watched each other grow up. So it would be an interesting project, but that's just whispers at this point. There's nothing actually solid happening.
So when you were little and grew up, surfing and the water sports was kind of a hobby. Is that your full-time job now?
It is, yeah. It still seems surreal to say, honestly. Like when I was little and, you know, something I loved to do and I never really thought of it, like the possibility of it being a full career. And then like through high school and kind of like when I was getting a little older, I realized that I loved this so much. Like it fulfills me so much that if I could do this every single day for the rest of my life, like I'll do anything to be able to achieve that. And so, yeah, right now I'm like, this is what I'm doing full time. And I've recently been getting into like board art a little bit more and creating kind of more on like the artistic side, which I really love doing. Like it's been a fun kind of transition to learn something new. So yeah, I want to make this work for as long as I can. Like it's what I love to do. So I'm hoping to kind of milk it for as long as possible.
We're going to get into that board art quite soon. I was just curious about like the beginning when you realized, all right, it's going to be a career for me. And my next question would be like, how does it look? How does a week or even a whole season look for Annie?
Yeah, I think I don't know if I ever like chose one day like, okay, I'm gonna make this like my career now. I think it kind of just naturally happened. Honestly, like I had this thought the other day, like I'd hope that if like 10-year-old Annie looked at what I was doing now, she'd be really proud because like I would have never seen this coming. Like I didn't set out with a goal being like, okay, like I'm gonna do this with like a 10-step plan. It kind of just happened. And yeah, I opened my eyes one day and I was like, wow, I'm living this dream that I've always wanted to live. And so I think for me, like my year schedule kind of, it changes a lot and it's really seasonal, just depending on the time of year and what exactly I'm doing. So in the winter months here in Hawaii, I'm more like training for big wave season and kind of just training for like the wave side of things, like involved in some of the big wave events here in Hawaii. In past years, it was the Jaws contest here. And then last year, I got to compete in the Eddie for the first time. And so when those events are held, there's like usually a 3 to 4 month holding period that they can happen. And so you kind of just have to be on call and ready. So I think like I spend a lot of winter like prepping for that, being like, okay, if they do call the day, like I can drop everything and be ready to fly to wherever, go out to Jaws and compete in that. And I'm still so like new in that world and learning. So it's been like a really fun process to dial in. But then in the summer months, I transition more to like the channel crossings and winging and kind of trying to like travel a little bit more and go on surf trips and kind of just like explore new places. So yeah, I mean week to week it changes a lot just depending on what I'm training for, but I usually have like a pretty full schedule of trying to dial in all my different things.
Like competition would be one thing, but then of course you have jobs you do with I guess your sponsors, or the last time we wanted to have the podcast, you had to, or you had to, you went on the water with Armstrong. How is competing or work with sponsors? How is that level more or less?
Yeah, Armstrong's new for me. I signed with them like a couple months ago, so it's been a really, really cool transition to meet everybody in the company. I'm really close with a lot of the riders, but specifically like get to work with some of them on that level. So I think like it just depends on the companies you're working with, but the ones that I'm with now, like they're really good about like supporting their riders through their sports and then also like encouraging them to, you know, shoot cool content and design new boards. And yeah, like I'm still kind of adjusting to the new switch, but like right now, Armstrong has supported me in going to a couple events already, and they're excited about the future and working towards all the channel crossings with me. So it's been like a really, really fun, exciting time.
Have you also maybe sometimes had the challenge where you thought like, all right, I need a sponsor, I need someone to help me out, but actually it's not my cup of tea. I would choose someone else if I could. Have you had that problem at any time?
I definitely have, and I'm happy to say like I've never signed with a company like that, but I've definitely had offers before from companies that I just feel like didn't really align with me. And I'm like, I'm so bad about that stuff. Like if I don't feel like I'm aligned with that company and we're not working towards a similar goal, like I just feel like I can't naturally promote them, and then it's such like a forced relationship and just doesn't feel honest. So I've had that dilemma sometimes where it's like, okay, I want this to be my career and I want to keep doing this, and like you need to make a living, but I don't want to like sell myself out type of thing. And so I've been really fortunate to work with all the companies I'm with now where it is like a very natural relationship, and it's like a cool, it's just been like a really cool, like, okay, like yeah, we both kind of are working towards a similar goal, and I haven't sold my soul quite yet.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, for now. Hopefully never will.
Hope so. Because I can imagine someone who has like lives for the sport or lives from sports, it can be difficult sometimes because, yeah, you need somehow some income and it just doesn't come for free.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I think I've loved, like the art side of things. I haven't like sold a lot of boards or done anything like that, but I'm kind of exploring like different avenues with that because I think the more I can kind of have like a passive income in a different way, the more I can pursue all of the sports I want to pursue in a way that like feels truthful to me and not feeling like I have to cut corners just to make sponsors happy. So it's been kind of fun to like experiment with that a bit more and make sure that I'm still like going on the path that I want to go on versus trying to make others happy.
Let's talk about that board art. How did it start? Were you just like, are these white boards, they look dull, they look boring. Let's do something else. Or how did it start?
Yeah, honestly, like I've loved art my whole life. I was never gifted by any means. Like everyone's asked, like, are you professionally trained? Like, did you go to school for it? And I didn't. Like, I don't know what I'm doing at all. And I think my biggest thing is like, I have a huge attention for detail. Like I love like little things and I love like perfection in some ways. And so for me, the form of art that I like to do is called stippling. And it's just from dots for the most part. And so I found that like, one of the most detailed forms of drawing possible is just when you form everything out of dots. And that's how I kind of started developing that. And at first it was just on paper. I like drew like octopus and, you know, skulls and like just animals for the most part. And I loved it. And then a friend saw some of my art and they're like, oh, will you do that on one of my boards? And so I like did it on one of their boards and didn't really think about it. And then from there, I like kind of started doing it a little bit more. And I was like, oh, this is fun and cool. And so I started trying different stuff. And then eventually I started doing it on all my different boards. So yeah, I don't know. Like I didn't set out to make it a thing. I just kind of was like, oh, I have a whiteboard and it's like an empty canvas. And I love to kind of highlight the beautiful equipment I'm given by my sponsors. So I might as well hopefully like put my part onto it. And then from there, like it's been a really fun process to kind of like learn a lot about like how to properly draw. And I'm still very far from that point, but it's cool to see like getting to work on something that you go out and ride is kind of special. Like I'm not shaping it by any means, but getting to like put my touch on what I get to go out and surf, it kind of feels like I earned my part to like go out and ride what I'm riding.
How do you get into it? Like first, can people order a board drawn by Annie, or are you saying, all right, I'm gonna draw this because I like this, might be an octopus, might be an eye of a dragon or whatever, and then people will buy it? Or can they say, I like this, can you maybe draw a jellyfish on my board? I don't know.
Yeah, I honestly, like, that's a great question. I'm still kind of trying to figure that out. I did some boards for this restaurant on Maui, Havens in Maalaea, and they were like the first people to ever pay me to do art, which was so surreal for me. I was like, this is crazy. Like, I didn't think that what I'm doing is anywhere close to being good enough to be like paid for my job or paid for what I'm doing. So that was exciting. And then I've only had one other person actually like pay for me to do a board for them. So I'm still kind of trying to figure out how I want to do it. Like, I think when I'm really excited about what I'm drawing, I can literally sit down for like 20 hours and just sit, like lay on the floor. Like, I'm such a high energy person and I have a really hard time sitting still. But for some reason, like when I set my mind to drawing, I can literally do only that for like a week straight. It's like a super weird kind of part of my brain that switches on. So I think like if I have something I'm really excited about drawing, that's what gets me like motivated. I was thinking about maybe doing like a line of boards and drawing them. And then if people like them, they could potentially purchase them. But I'm also like, I have friends that ask me to draw on boards. And if they have a cool idea, like I'm always willing to do it. So kind of just depends. Like if you guys ever want to ship a board to Hawaii, like I'd be happy to draw on it. And for the most part, like I run out of boards. Like I only get like a couple short boards a year. And then I'm kind of like, wait, I want to keep drawing and I don't have anything to draw on. So that's why I'm always looking for kind of like fun side projects to keep just like trying to improve.
You said it's that like 20 hours. It's like 20 hours what it takes to make such drawings?
It usually takes a lot longer. Like, I don't know if you can see, there's like the skull one in the back.
Yeah.
I think they take between like 35 hours is like short for me, but I've had some that have taken like upwards of 60.
Wow.
But I love doing it. Like, a lot of people look at me and they think there's something wrong with me, but I'm like, I'm not like forcing myself to do it. I genuinely love like creating something. I think because the process is so slow, it almost makes it more rewarding. Like, people always say like, oh, I want to watch you draw and like see it. And that's why I've like posted some time lapses and people seem to appreciate that. But I'm like, you don't want to watch me do it in real time. It's one of the most boring things you can ever watch. Just slowly and meticulously dotting away. So it's quite a process. And it's, I think most people think I'm crazy, but it is like really, really fun when the outcome finally shows itself.
It looks amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, people like the videos because they're 20 seconds long. They wouldn't watch the whole thing, yeah.
No, I thought that. I was like, I should just put, yeah, should I put 60 hours of drawing on YouTube? I don't think anybody would watch that. But
you know what? Maybe you should. Like a live show. People watch that.
Yeah,
people
a live stream.
Weird things, yeah.
Yeah, people watch anything, I guess. That's so true.
Yeah, nowadays. If they watch us, they probably watch anything.
That's true. Maybe we can talk, like, your transition from surfing into foiling. What was your first time on foil? Was that being towed behind a boat, or how was that?
It wasn't. It was with Jeffrey and Finn Spencer. They're two amazing athletes here on Maui. Like, they really kind of helped, like, revive foiling, honestly. Like, when Kai started doing it here, they were some of the first people to get their hands on foils and start learning it. And so I grew up with them. They've been like some of my childhood friends since before I can even remember. And they were getting into it. And I tried it with them one day at this wave called Thousand Peaks on the west side. And, you know, they say what everybody says when you're learning to foil, like when the foil goes one way, lean with the foil, like don't fight it because you'll fall on top of it. And of course, like for a new timer, no, you don't understand what that means. Like, unfortunately, you kind of have to learn the hard way for the most part, especially in like the very beginning where the foils were a lot less user friendly. So they took me out and I caught a couple waves, of course, like third wave in, directly fall straight on the foil, and like definitely like paid my dues. But after that, I wasn't hooked. Like, it took me a little while to realize like this is something I love to do and I wanted to spend more time doing it. I honestly like kind of thought it was silly at first. I was like, I don't get it. Like, it's kind of hard. I don't know. Like, it was just, I think the equipment was still like so novice at that point, and it's gone so far since then. So
how long ago
it probably
was that?
Took like, it was before COVID. It was probably like, I don't even know. I'll have to look through photos.
5, 6 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, I think so. I could find the exact date, but it was a while ago. And so that was just surf foiling. And then I finally, like, I was sponsored by Nash at the time, and they started making foils. And so I finally, like, got my hand on a foil that felt good. And that's when I, like, started to learn how to do it. And I was like, oh, this is really fun in the waves. And then shortly after that is when Kai did his, like, crazy break the internet downwind foiling thing. And that's, like, when Nash started making equipment more for that. And from there, like, the whole thing just took off, I think. Like, race, stand-up paddle racing was, it wasn't struggling at the time, but it was definitely, like, I don't know. It was kind of plateauing. And so I think that new sport being introduced, like at least on Maui for like, you know, the action sports athletes who wanted like a little bit more exciting, like action, we jumped on it and it was so fun to like struggle and learn. And the equipment's so different now, but it was like really wild to kind of try and like help promote and push the beginning of that sport.
I can imagine that like if you have the waves and the conditions, you don't really need a foil. For me, in a landlocked country, it is so cool because here I can also feel a little bit like a surfer, which is nice because we all want to be surfers, but we just can't. So for us, it's important.
Yeah, no, I love watching like what you guys do in lakes and like with wings or just like flat water stuff, like Ridiculo. Like his videos of what he just does, like pumping off a dock, just blow me away. So I do love that. Like, I think it's hard to find a sport that you can really relate to somebody like, yeah, in a landlocked country on a lake to somebody like riding a wave in Hawaii. And there are tons of similarities. And like, we can be riding the exact same equipment, which is what's so cool, and like still compare. So yeah, I love seeing what you guys are doing. It's really cool.
Yeah, Ridiculo Balt, he was on our show as well. Episode, I don't know, somewhere up here, if you haven't listened to it. Mm-hmm. I met him 2 days ago on a lake, and he just went winging and then pumping, and he took the parawing out, and it was just crazy what he does, and really cool, nice guy, really, really cool.
Have you tried the parawing?
The parawing stuff is incredible.
Let's have talk about it.
Yeah, Maui, it's like it's growing really fast. Like, I swear over the last like 4 months nobody had one, and now just going out from Maliko the other day to do a downwinder, I think I saw like 6 or 7 people with them. So Personally, like I've used them a couple times. I tried one in Fiji a couple months ago, and I haven't gotten my hands on one personally, but I've used friends. But for I think it's really cool. Like for people that want to downwind here on Maui who might not like want to learn the grueling process it takes to learn how to paddle up, but also don't want to go with the wing, because the wing, like as you guys know, like I'm sure when you put it down, like it does kind
it's
of get
in the,
way, and then it's
yeah,
flipping
all the
over,
time.
You're running it over, like it's just yeah. So I think it kind of takes away from like that flow of the foil. So and then you're also able to use much smaller boards. So I think the Parawing here, I see it like going really far with the downwind community, and then also just being able to catch waves and like, you know, put it into a little ball and just kind of feel like you're free riding. I don't know. I'd love to hear your guys like for on lakes, like how it's kind of affecting your riding. But on Maui, like I see it being a really cool like niche for people who might kind of struggle to like some of those other foil sports.
Honestly, for me, I'm a pretty average rider. So I tried to paddle and it's really difficult. One, because I'm not really strong. And I don't have the technique. And when I can go on the lake paddling, the conditions are great because the waves are pretty steep, but also short. And I have a nice overview, but then the balance is one thing. And if I can get on the water like once every 3-4 weeks, it's just I cannot improve really. So with the Parawing, it was super easy because I come from winging and sailing. I've been with the wind ever since. So getting up on foil is so much easier. And I actually wanted to learn the sup downwinding, but I'm not sure if I'm gonna.
It's hard. Like, I think we're so spoiled here because we have such an incredible, like, consistent downwind run. I feel like I can't even touch on this, but I get it. Like, for somebody, yeah, who you might not be able to practice every day. Like, I swear you need to, like, consistently go for a couple weeks to, like, really dial it in. So it's a really hard sport to learn. Like, I mean, it's a struggle here sometimes, and we have like 10 out of 10 conditions most days. More power to you if you guys can figure it out in far from optimal wind, because it's pretty incredible.
And out of those sports that you're doing, what's your favorite?
People always ask me that, and sometimes my answer changes, but honestly, like, I think it just depends on the time of year. Right now, I have to say probably like the big wave surfing / the big wave foiling. I spent a little bit of time out at Jaws last winter getting a bigger, like a smaller foil under my feet and getting to try foiling out there. And then I think like the like rush of adrenaline you get when you ride a big wave and pull off into the channel is one of just, it's so hard to describe. And I'm sure you guys feel it like when you do your sports and you accomplish something that's new and exciting, how good you feel. It's kind of like that. And then being able to be out in nature at its just raw, like most raw, most powerful form, and getting to kind of immerse yourself in that is such a rewarding feeling. So I'd say probably the big wave surfing / I love downwind foiling too, because I think it's like another version of that in the summertime where you can go out when it's like gusting 40 and you're one with the wind and one with the bumps, and you get to still be on the ocean in such an extreme time, but feel so like calm and at peace when you're gliding through the bumps. So I think they're so different, but at the same time, like they have a lot of similarities, those two sports, just because you are like, you know, you're not like fighting against the ocean. You're really working with it to succeed.
How important is it that you're really good at surfing before getting on a foil? Like in the waves?
Like, it's nice to have very basic surf skills, like being able to paddle and just kind of having like basic lineup awareness is great too. But you don't need to be like a professional shortboarder by any means. I'd say like if you want to surf foil and you want to be able to paddle in on a foil, like it's a great thing to practice. Yeah, just like a longboard popping up and being able to surf and kind of work your rails on a surfboard. But it's definitely not like a requirement. I know tons of people who wing foil here and honestly are getting a little bit more into prone foiling who really don't surf. So it's really interesting to see them take like a completely opposite approach to like how I learned to foil. But it's totally doable to learn without having like a big surf background. And I also think like a lot of people stand up paddle here. And so that's also like a really fun way. You don't need to learn how to surf. Like if you know how to stand up paddle, getting a sup foil board is also super accessible. So that's like another great way to learn in the waves.
You see more people getting out on the water since the foil start, or is it just distributing itself more? Not everyone is at the spot where people can surf, and it's just more out on the ocean, or they take their wing or their parawing, and it may be like people are scattered all over the place, less in one area. How do you see that evolution?
I think there's actually a lot of new faces in the foil, like just who learned to foil. I think it's cool because there was such like a weird like distance, not as much in Maui, but just kind of in general between like wind sports and surfing. And I think like foiling's really helped bridge that gap, which is super cool. Like I have a bunch of friends who are like pro surfers or borderline pro surfers who I think kind of always like rolled their eyes at wind sports and were like, we never want to do that. Like it's such a different thing. And it's incredible now to like see them obsessed with it. Like that's all they want to do. They want a downwind foil. They want a prone foil. They want a toe foil. They want a wing. And so I think foiling's really kind of helped, yeah, to get like all of the different sports and bringing them together. And here on Maui, like it's cool. We have all of our different waves for different sports. So like there's a wave that's pretty predominantly known for like prone foiling and winging. And then there's still waves that like windsurfers kind of run. And then there's the waves that the surfers take over. But honestly, for the most part, like I think the lineups have gotten more crowded, but Maui is really, really good at kind of having like the different waves for the different sports. Cause you do like, you don't need the same type of wave for everyone. But I haven't felt like the lineups get a lot more crowded, but it's super cool to see all of these like faces that I'm used to seeing in different sports, like all doing the same one together and kind of getting to like share something.
I also feel like it's a little less rivalry. When I started with the water sports, I sailed and I windsurfed and I looked at the kiters and I'm like, all right, these kiters, we don't like them. And then I started kiting. Uh-huh. And then it was the same with the wingers. And I really think with the foiling thing, it's more like a community group thing. So once you're on foil, it doesn't matter what's above the water.
Absolutely. I think like, I mean, you need barely a wave to foil, like if that, or if you wing, like you can wing in flat water. And I think out there, like everybody wins if everyone's foiling. It's not like you're going to go steal someone's wave or steal someone's bump out in the middle of the ocean. And that's what I really love to see from our downwind. And like, cool, like the whole like down foiling community in general is really close. Like I wouldn't say there's like big different gaps of people. I think most of the foilers here are good at almost all of the different disciplines, but it's really cool to see the downwind foiling community growing and everyone's like so excited and so inclusive. And it's like everyone wants to test new gear and try new stuff. And the more the merrier. Like I think you'd have a hard time making the ocean crowded out there.
Yeah.
And so it's not like you're going to go out there and, yeah, you're not going to go take someone's bump and ruin their day. It's like you want to be sharing bumps with friends. And so it's definitely like a fun new thing. It's not like a team sport, but in some way it gives you that camaraderie because I think coming from like a surfing background, it's definitely like, you know, if it means you're going to win the contest, like you'll take away from your friend type of thing. And that always like was such a weird thing for me to kind of comprehend. So it's fun to still have that friendship on the water in a different way.
Let's talk about people who foil.
So sorry.
Because I just wanted to ask, when I go pump foiling or wing foiling, there's just men or boys. And when I look at people who watch my videos, 95% men. And you said before that there are some women here and there, but there are very few. Is it different in Maui?
We'll say that I think we're kind of spoiled on Maui. Like, I think because like the rebirth of foiling, and I say rebirth because it was such a thing, like when Laird and those guys did it in the early 2000s. But when it really kind of came to be again, it was like the presence of it here was so loud and known that I think like all people saw it. And I have noticed here that we have a lot of girls doing it compared to other places. And I love to see that. Like just from our females at downwind foil, like there's all these people I used to compete with in stand-up paddling, like all the channel crossings and racings, and now they do downwind like foiling, which is incredible. And then there's also like younger people getting into it, which I love to see. And I wish that all places could kind of take after Maui, because I want more girls in the lineup. Like for Molokai to Oahu, which we have coming up, they just announced the start list, and I think it's still like only like 6 or 7 girls are going to downwind foil it, maybe less. And I want that number to grow. Like I want to see a list of like 20 or 30 girls, and I want more people to compete against, and I just want more females like to be represented in the sport and do that. And it is a really hard thing to get into. Like foiling is still so new, and I think it's still like gaining presence in a lot of ways. I think there's like, it can seem scary to learn for a lot of reasons, but
is that the reason why there's less?
Honestly, like here on Maui, it's really cool to see, like when I'm foiling and I'm in the lineup, like at some places there'll be a couple girls and in the water, and still not enough. Like I still go alone and I'm mostly with guys most of the time, but it is like different here and it's better here. Like a lot of the other downwind races I'll do in other places have barely any females in it. And here, like we did one on Maui the other day, and I think like there were like 10 plus downwind girls, and it was so cool to see. Like it was really, really fun, and they're all people I love and really sweet females. So I love that. And I hope that that can kind of continue to grow and that people can look at Maui as a good example of the fact that like, yeah, guys can do it, but so can girls. And like, it's fun for everyone. So I hope that that kind of continues to happen.
Is there anything we as men or boys can do to encourage women to come on foil?
I mean, I think just like, yeah, encourage as many people as you can, whether or not they're a guy or not. Like, I don't know how the water community is for you guys where you live. And like, if there are a lot of different females that windsurf and kite surf and all that stuff, and like encouraging them to get on the water and learn how to do that. But I think that's like how it happened here, is like there are girls who love to surf and windsurf and wing and all that stuff, or not wing, but kite surf. And from there, they got invited to learn to foil, and that's how they got into the sport. So yeah, I guess it's just different in every community. And I think there's ways to make it happen in different ways, but I'm still trying to figure out, like, I want to help. And I want to encourage more girls to get in the lineup. And I'm still trying to figure out like how I can do my part. So I don't know if I have the best answer for you guys, but I think it's just dependent on where you are. And yeah, if you're thinking about it, like I think that's already such a great start.
Well, I guess you're doing very well with your channels to promote like the female aspect of water sports. But yeah, what you said is just encouraging people, especially mm-hmm. here where I'm living. Even like windsurfing and wing foiling, you probably see one girl every 30 males. It's there's a big gap.
Yeah.
So maybe if we have more women on the show, is there anyone around you where you think like she needs to be on the show as well? She has so many cool stories to tell that we should ask.
I have a long list I can give you guys. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
I mean, there's lots of girls on Maui specifically. Like there's a girl named Gabriella. She's an incredible wing foiler and downwind foiler here. She dates Kane DeWild. He's also, I don't know if you guys know him, he's the foil mastermind. But like, she is so incredible with how much time she puts in on the water. And I think just like her overall foiling style. And she's somebody who, she can surf, but she really like has dedicated all her time to foiling. So it's cool to see like how much time she puts in and all the rewards she gets out of that. So she's someone who I think you'd have a lot of fun talking to. And there's Paige Alms on Maui, who has a kind of a similar background to me. She's an incredible water woman who not only surfs big waves, but also foils. And she's kind of new to the downwinding scene here on Maui. So maybe it'd be fun to talk to somebody who kind of like got entered into the world after it already existed type of thing. But yeah, there's some amazing water women / foilers out there, and it would be cool, yeah, if you guys could talk to them.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Kyle, do you have anything else? Because I want to get into, again, your life as a sports woman, and you're still young, obviously. But like, are you thinking about like your future, what your plan's going to be in 10 years? 15 years, 20 years, maybe?
Absolutely, yeah. I think about that a lot, and it stresses me out sometimes. Like,
sorry.
No worries. Don't worry. It's not just you bringing it up. But yeah, I think I never want to hit that point where I feel like I've kind of closed all the other doors in my life, and the only option I have is to be a professional athlete, and like, that's it. And one day, like, yeah, if that doesn't work for me anymore, like, I don't want to just end up like having no idea what direction to go in. So I think about that a lot, like from the art that I do to the fact that I would love to have some sort of like backup plan, just / like other form of like other communities to be in. My dad is a programmer, so I've always been really interested in like learning how to do that and writing code and stuff. So I want to have backup plans and options and stuff, and never just like put all of my eggs in one basket. But I do think about like my 10-year plan, and ideally I would love to continue to be doing this and being in the ocean, and maybe like in some different capacity, whether or not it's like teaching people or teaching like, you know, young girls to get into the sport, or sharing what I've learned and what I can do with other people. And so I'm constantly thinking about it. I can't say I have it all planned out, but it's kind of, hopefully in 10 years, you guys can come ask me and I'll be like, oh, like it's still good. I'm still figuring it out, but it's going in the right direction.
Well, and you still have a lot of time, obviously. Maybe you can also tell us what's going to be next in the next half year, what contests you have coming, what maybe trips you have coming.
Yeah, I'm super excited about the next like 3 months, I'd say. I have all of the Channel Crossings coming up, and last year was so fun for that. Like, we had Paralimoa, which is a local Maui race, and then Maui to Molokai and Molokai to Oahu. And they combined all those races and they called it the Triple Crown. And so they crowned like two champions, men and female, overall for those races. And it was really cool because I think it kind of brought me back to like the SUP racing days. I used to do all those channel crossings on like the 14 and 17 foot race boards when I was younger. I think I did my first one when I was like 14 or 13. And so getting to do that, and like it brought back really fun memories for me, like when everybody used to come out for those races. And I'm super excited for that to happen again, like getting to see everybody from different parts of the world. Most people come out for the whole month of July and get to come like train and just kind of dial in their equipment. And so I'm really looking forward to that. Like, it's getting to see a bunch of really fun faces, and they get to come visit my home because I usually go to get to visit their home. So that, and then working with Armstrong now, I'm working on developing some like really fast gear with them, and I'm excited to meet the whole team and get to like spend some time training with them. And then, I mean, I'm just excited to compete too. Like, I think each year the foils get faster and everything kind of improves. So I'm excited to get on the water and yeah, get back out there with everyone.
That's so nice. That's so nice.
We talked about your future, and I guess you are never going to leave Maui, are you?
That's a hard one. Like, I love traveling. I think you can kind of get island fever if you stay here for a really long time. It's an absolutely incredible place, but I think because I've been so blessed to have the ability to travel and compete in different places, like, I never want to lose that. Every time I get to go somewhere else, I see the world in a different light, and it just changes my perspective and so much. So I can't say I've ever been somewhere else I'd want to live full time. Like, but I also can't say that, like, I've not been to so many places. Maybe I'll go somewhere, maybe I'll go to Italy and I'll be like, wow, I could see myself, you know, having a future here. So I don't know, like, I can't confidently say that I'll stay in Maui forever, but as of right now, like, it's my home. It's the only place I've ever wanted to live, but maybe one day down the road that'll change. It'd have to have big waves and wind though, so that's kind of narrows it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But, and yeah,
you talked about this island fever, and is there something that you sometimes you really feel like you miss, or is there something in your childhood that you feel like you missed?
I don't know. I think my childhood here was really special. Like, getting to grow up in a like a place you can just be outdoors 24/7 pretty much is really special. And it's like, you know, we don't have winters, like we have winter, but it doesn't get cold here. So it's like, it's a really encouraging place to just spend time outdoors all the time. But I think like I hit more of that like island fever feeling when I was more in like teenage on years. I think just like, you know, it's a very small island. It's a small community, which can be a blessing and a curse. Like, it's incredible to grow up with all of these people. And essentially, like, they become family because you've known them your whole life and you see all of them so often. But I think, like, you know, that does get limiting after a while. So it's really fun to get to go and explore and see the rest of the world and kind of realize that despite us having this beautiful oasis here, like, the rest of the world does exist, and kind of getting to, like, open up your perspective and realize that, yeah, we aren't the only ones that have to thrive in this world. So I definitely can't complain, but it's really, really cool to be able to go and meet new people. And every time I get to do that, I just like, I love it, and I never want that to end.
And how is the relationship like with that locals have there with tourists, for example? Like, is there like localism when it comes to surfing, or not really?
I think so. Maui's like not terrible. We definitely like, there's pecking order in the lineups, like specifically in surfing. If you like just moved here or you're a tourist, like I definitely think you're at the bottom of the food chain. It's definitely not as bad as it used to be. Like, some of the other islands are a lot more extreme, but yeah, I'd say there is a little bit. Specifically with like tourism Hawaii, it's a really complicated history with just how like Hawaii was essentially like taken over, you know, 100 years ago plus. So it's complicated. Like, I think part of our economy relies on tourism, but at the same time, some of the ways that it goes down ends up actually hurting the local community. But more on like the surf side, yeah, people are usually pretty respectful. And I think like if people here aren't afraid to tell them that they're not being respectful. So I personally, like, I've never had any problems, and people have always been respectful to me. But I think there are those situations. But yeah, I don't see them a lot.
All right.
It's here.
Have either of you guys ever been to Hawaii before?
No, I've been to French Polynesia once, a little bit more to the south.
It's incredible there.
Yeah, yeah, it was nice as well. But yeah, maybe one day, who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Please do. You guys can come learn to downwind in actual, in some good condition.
Yeah.
Cool, okay. Sure. Yeah, okay.
Listen,
I'll look out for his name.
Yeah. He used to be a world-class ice hockey goalie. Maybe you've heard of him. He was in the NHL for a couple of years.
Wow.
Swiss national goalkeeper. Yeah.
And now he's with the paddle, the stick.
Yes.
That's so cool. I love that.
I don't know which one.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to look out for that episode.
All right. I'm pretty much through with my list. Do you have anything else you want to ask?
No, that's
Annie?
Fine. Like, if you want to cover something more a bit, about the life on the island, that would be super, super cool, in my opinion.
I think you guys just have to come here and experience
yeah,
it yourself.
Right?
And then you guys can
yeah.
tell all your guests how it went.
All right. I'm going to tell you who the next episode is going to be with. It's going to be with Cyril and Jeremy from Ketos, a French foil company. Kyle is writing their stuff, and we're going to have him on the next time. And I have just one last question, and maybe it's a weird one, Annie. Maybe because I see these videos of you surfing these, I don't know how big these huge waves are. They look huge. And maybe you can first tell us how big they actually are, and then what goes through your mind when you get like pulled in one of these waves? Yeah, how you look around, how it feels for you, what goes through your head? Can you walk us through like a wave like that?
Yeah, I think probably like the biggest wave I've surfed is like around 60 feet, toe surfing in at Jaws. And I've definitely taken my fair share of beatings out there. Unfortunately, I wish I could say that I have a perfect record and I never fall, but yeah, when you're looking up at one of those waves, I think like a million thoughts go through your mind all at once. Like one of them screaming, like it's the survival instinct in your brain. Like, what are you doing? Get out of there. Like, this is not where humans are supposed to be. And then the people that have screws loose, like me and the rest of the people in the lineup out there, they kind of are able to push those feelings away and be like, no, but like being out here and turning around and actually paddling in front of those waves is even more incredible. So yeah, when I'm getting pounded by one of those waves, I think it's like you just kind of have to be in the moment, like not panic, like be like, okay, I can hold my breath. Like I hold my breath for as long as I can. And when you come up and survive one of those wipeouts, it's almost like it's not addicting because it's terrible and painful, but like you feel like you're almost superhuman. Like when you pop up after falling at Jaws, it's like it's not something that you'd think a human should be able to survive. So when you do survive it, it's like, oh my gosh, I just did that. And like usually I almost come up like giggling to myself, like that was dumb and I shouldn't have fallen, but it's pretty incredible that I'm still in one piece and I can go back out there and do it again. So, yeah, I think if I wasn't as prepared like with my training and stuff as I am, I definitely would panic a little bit more. But I think that's just like the biggest thing is not to panic and just stay in the moment.
But if you get pulled in one of these waves and you're not falling yet, are you just like trying to feel every sensation of the board? Are you looking around? How does that feel?
Absolutely. I think time stands still in those moments. Like a wave that's like 10 seconds long feels like it's an hour long. So yeah, like every little thing that's happening, like I have these like mottos that I tell myself, like things that I've had surfers that are much, much better than me tell me. So you know, whether it's like put a lot of weight forward, take those like three extra strokes. That's what I'm always told, because a lot of the time the waves are moving so fast out there that you don't realize like how fast you have to be going in order to catch up to them. So I think like I've done it unfortunately more times than I'm comfortable to admit, where, you know, I don't paddle quite enough and you stand up and you get kind of caught at the top of the lift and you can still make the drop, but it just makes it a lot more exciting / sketchy than it needs to be. And so I think like, yeah, when I'm paddling, I always tell myself like, take those three extra strokes, put a lot of weight on that front foot. And then, yeah, when you're going down the face of the wave, it feels like you're going 700 miles an hour. Like it feels like you're going so unbelievably fast and you feel every single chop and bump that you hit, but it's like so cool. And despite going so fast, you do feel like it takes forever for you to reach the bottom of the wave and start to bottom turn. And like, I'm sure if you guys surf or spend time in waves, like, you know, that feeling, but it's like that, but it's, you know, 20 times longer because you have that much longer to go down the face of the wave. So it's a pretty special feeling. And I think it's something that I'll chase for the rest of my life, but I don't think I'd ever get tired of it either.
That is beautiful. And I think we can leave it at that. Thank you very much, Annie, for coming on the show, for taking your time. Sorry again to have like miscalculated the hour. And
no worries.
Are you going to go on the water today?
I am. Yes. This is a rare no wind, no waves day on Maui, which happens, I swear, probably like four times a year. So yeah, I'm going to go do something, whether it's some sort of flat water foil thing, or maybe it'll get just windy enough to wing, or I'll go for a swim or something.
Have you ever dock started? Because that's kind of our thing.
I have, and I am so bad at it. I'd love to say that I'm like really graceful, but I think I've only tried it on one dock specifically, and Maui doesn't really have any good docks for it. So it's like a really tall dock, and you're kind of like jumping, like not really touching the water. But if you guys need to teach me, if I ever am in your area, because
sure,
it's not pretty.
Up.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Thank you very much. Enjoy your time. And thanks again so much for coming on.
Thank you,
thank you guys.